If you take your Bibles with me and turn to Malachi in the Old Testament, the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi and chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2. And as you're turning there, last week we began dealt with chapter 1. And before here, we pick it up in chapter 2 for those that have just coming in the middle of this. If you haven't heard the first message and kind of the background, a little bit about the book of Malachi, it is, when you read through the major and minor prophets in the Old Testament, they are not necessarily in chronological order. But the book of Malachi is the last prophecy to Israel. So it is in chronological order as the last book, the last really message to the nation of Israel. Now, this happens right after God had judged the nation of Israel. After King Solomon, the kingdom of Israel split in half. You had the northern kingdom, and then you had the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom comprised of 10 tribes, while the southern kingdom comprised of 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin. The northern tribe, which is referred to as Israel, was taken captive by the Assyrians. Then later, the nation of Judah, which is the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, were taken captive by the Babylonians. Now, they would be in captivity, according to the prophets, for 70 years. We read that last week in Jeremiah. He said, after 70 years, God would restore you and bring you back to the land. That's exactly what happened. After 70 years, we talked about last week how there were 3 returns. There was the return under Zerubbabel, where about 50,000 Jews returned to Israel. Then in 456 BC, there was the return of under Ezra, which is about 2,000 Jews returned. And the last return was in 444 BC under Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah, when he came, he dealt with the sin of the nation of Israel. And what he dealt with was exactly what Malachi is dealing with. He dealt with these things, let me remind you. He dealt with the desecration of the temple. Nehemiah dealt with the non-payment of the tithes to the Lord. The third thing he dealt with was the profaning of the Sabbath. And the fourth thing he dealt with was mixed marriages. Now, when Nehemiah dealt with that, there seemed to be a revival taking place. And when Nehemiah went back to Babylon and he came back after that, after preaching, after there was somewhat of a revival, he came back and the people were in the exact state they were before they experienced revival, before they got right with God. They actually signed. They said, well, sign a covenant with God. We will obey His word. And when Nehemiah comes back, he finds the people in sin again. The things that he had dealt with, they were desecrating the temple. They were not paying their tithes. They were profaning the Sabbath, and they were engaging in mixed marriages. And so perhaps when Malachi comes on the scene is after Nehemiah has already dealt with the nation of Israel. They said they would turn back to God, and they haven't turned back to God. And so now Malachi comes on the scene and deals with the nation of Israel. Now, last week we talked about how we see the nation of Israel did 3 things. The first thing that they did is they denied that God loved them. That's where it began. Then, they not only denied that God loved them, but they despised God's name. And then, the last thing, we see that they dreaded their service to God. Now, when we come now to chapter 2, notice verse 1, "And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you." So this evening, I want to preach a message. We'll read the text in just a moment, but a commandment for the priests. Let's begin reading in verse 1. "And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed, and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, And I gave them to life for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem, for Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with good will at your hand. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, every one that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? I want you to notice in verse 1 again, God turns his attention now and says, O ye priest, this commandment is for you. In chapter 1, he really dealt with Israel in generally speaking, and how the Israelites were kind of complaining. God said, I have loved you. And the children of Israel said, wherein hast thou loved us? Show us the proof. We don't see the fact that you love us. Then God said that they have despised his name, and they replied, wherein have we despised thy name? God says, ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? We find they got so bad that they made this statement, behold, what a weariness is it. When it came to the service of the Lord, the people of Israel said, what's the point? They snuffed at it, they puffed at it, they breathed and say, this is pointless. And now God is going to turn his attention now specifically to the priest. Now the priest were supposed to be the religious leaders in Israel, the examples. But he says, O ye priest, this commandment is for you. Everything we just read in this passage, as we deal with this passage, we must understand that God says, this is your fault. The reason why Israel is in the condition it is in is because of you. So I want to preach this evening a commandment for the priest. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for your word, and I pray that you would help us this evening. That you would help us to see the seriousness with which those that know you and should have known better have completely gone against what your word had said. I pray that you would help us realize that, Lord, the things that have taken place in the history of Israel are the same thing with another name that are taking place today. I pray, Lord, that you would help us this evening as we look into this passage, that your Spirit would give us understanding, and that, Lord, you would convict us. And I pray that you would help us, Lord, to be biblically minded when it comes to the subjects that you're dealing with in this passage. We need your help this evening. Help us to be submissive to your word. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the circumstance, obviously, is this is right before, the last message, before there's going to be 400 years of complete silence. God is not going to send a man to be his messenger to the nation of Israel. And for 400 years, Israel is going to hear nothing from God until Jesus Christ comes on the scene 400 years later. Now, here in chapter 2 here, the condition of Israel, this is they've been restored. And we dealt with that last week where they said, well, wherein hast thou loved us? And God said, look, let me show you and prove to you how I've loved you, how I've dealt with you. He says, aren't you the house of Jacob? Don't you see that I've treated you different than the house of Esau? And so there's no doubt that God lays out the charge here. And now he turns his attention to the priest. And as we look at this passage, the first thing we see is the intent that God had for the priests. The intent that God had for the priests. Notice in verse 2, the Bible says, if ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, notice, to give glory unto my name. Really, it boils down to all this here. And we're going to see all this passage, all the things that the priests were involved in. And by the end of the passage, we're going to realize that these men, who were supposed to be the religious leaders of the day, were actually very wicked men. But here he's going to start by saying this. The priest was appointed. The intent that God had for the priest is he wants you, priest, to bring glory to God. In other words, if we ask ourselves today, well, why do we do what we do? It's all about this. It's all about bringing glory to God. That's what it's about. In other words, when we go out, we should not be motivated necessarily by our love for others and being witness. We should be motivated primarily because we want to glorify God and please God. Because if you do things because you love man and you want to please man, well, one day is going to come where people aren't going to treat you right and you're not going to love them anymore like you thought you did. But if you do things out of a desire to bring glory to God, that changes things. Because when people don't treat you right, if you do things for the glory of God, that's the right. So God says the intent for the priest is simply this. You as the priest, you ought, out of any other people in Israel, you ought to bring glory to my name. That's the intent for the priest. Now, the reason why the nation of Israel existed, by the way, as a whole, was to bring glory to God's name. The priests were the head to be the example in honoring and glorifying God's name. God tells Israel that if they don't listen to His command, that He will send a curse upon them, upon their blessing, and upon their children. Notice in verse 2, he says, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. In other words, he says, if you're not going to hear what I'm going to tell you, and if you're not going to take it to heart and change, then this is what's going to happen. I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed, and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. What he's saying, he says, don't you know, Israel, that I have already judged you because of your wickedness? Because you have turned, you could go 80 years prior. I judged you because you turned your heart and worshipped false gods. I judged you because you rejected the word of the Lord. I have rejected you. I have cursed you. And he says, you understand that that can happen again. If you don't take it to heart what I'm telling you, if you don't hear what I'm telling you, then the curse is coming. A judgment is coming. I personally believe today that Israel is still under a curse. Just to turn on the news. What are they dealing with all the time? Attacks on every side, nonstop. That's what they're dealing with. So as we think about this curse here, because Israel rejected God, God's intent, they were not fulfilling God's intent for them. Now we see the reason God chose the sons of Levi. He's going to go on. Notice in verse 5, he says, "My covenant was with him of life and peace. I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name." Now notice at the end of verse 4, he says this, "And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts." Now, his issue now is with the priest. Now, who were the Levites? The tribe of Levi was appointed by God to be the religious standard of the day. And God is going to show us here in His Word, He's going to explain here to the priests, as Malachi is preaching, He's going to remind them why, the reason why God chose the sons of Levi. As He's preaching to the priests, as He's looking at the priests, He says, "I want to remind you of something. You are a priest because God has chosen you. God has made a covenant with the children of Levi. You're part of the tribe of Levi." And notice here the reason why God chose the sons of Levi. First of all, He chose them because they feared God. Notice in verse 5, "My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name." So God says, look, the reason why I've chosen you priests as the tribe of Levi, the sons of Levi, the reason why I chose you is because you as a people feared my name. You feared me. You honored me. You reverenced me. That's why I chose the sons of Levi. Because you are special. Out of all the tribes, you were the tribe that feared me above all the other tribes. That's why I selected you. Then he goes on in verse 6, he says, "The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity." Notice not only the reason God chose him was because they feared God, but they also guided God's people. The tribe of Levi, before God selected them, said, "You," notice he says, "and did turn many away from iniquity." In other words, he says, you as the sons of Levi, you were proclaiming my message. You were guiding people away from sin and iniquity. You were my messengers as a people. You were my representatives. You guided God's people in the right direction. That's why I chose you. That's the reason why I chose you to be priests, to be God's representatives, to be the one that take care of the sacrificial system, to be the ones that picture the Messiah that was to come. That's why I chose you. You feared me, and you guided God's people. So we see the reason why God chose the sons of Levi, but secondly, we see the responsibility God gave the sons of Levi. In verse 7, the Bible says, "For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts." Interesting. He, the sons of Levi, the priest, he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Now, there's a little irony there, because the priests were supposed to be God's voice in Israel. And we're going to see in just a minute the things that they were involved in, the things that they were saying. Isn't it interesting that God says, "You are not doing what I called you to do. Your responsibility was to be my voice, to be the messenger of the Lord, and now I am sending you Malachi." You know what his name means? Malachi means the messenger of God. You see, where they had failed, God sent a man to reprove them because they were failing to do the responsibility that God had had for them. God called Malachi to preach to Israel because those priests were no longer fulfilling the responsibility to bring God's message and turn many away from iniquity. We're going to find in just a minute that they were complicit in committing this iniquity. So we find, notice, the intent for the priests, the reason why God chose them and the responsibility God gave them. But secondly, we see the indifference of the priest. So God reminds here through Malachi the sons of Levi, the priests, those that were in charge of being the religious leaders of the day. He speaks to them and he tells them, look, this is why God selected you, because you were special. This is what you did. This is why God selected you. But notice verse 8, but there's a problem here. But ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. So we see, notice, the indifference of the priests. First of all, we see the charges God brings. Now he says this, ye are departed. They departed out of the way. Now let me remind you, the priests were supposed to instruct people in the way of the Lord. They were supposed to be God's messengers. They were supposed to be the one that knew the law of God so that they could guide people in the law of God, in the Word of God. And God tells the priest, says there, God selected you for you to be His messengers, but you have departed from the way that God has instructed you to go. You've departed from it. Not only did they depart out of the way, the Bible says, secondly, they caused others to stumble. So not only, and we see a progression here, not only did they part out of the way, they forsook the way of the Lord, they forsook the right way, they forsook the right path, but number two, we see the Bible says, ye have caused many to stumble at the law. He says, not only have you gone out of the way, but you've caused other people to stumble at the law, to hate the law of God, because you have no respect for the law of God. You've caused people to stumble at the law. People are criticizing the law because of your behavior. So they departed themselves. They caused others to stumble. Think about it. It's not only bad. Sometimes people say, well, I'm going to be disobedient to the Lord. It's not going to affect anybody. No, you're taking people with you, whether you like it or not. If you choose to disobey and go away from the Lord, I will guarantee you that there are people who you've influenced that are going to follow you, and you are going to cause them to stumble. So you've departed. Not only have you departed, but you've caused others to stumble with you. But notice he goes a step further. He says, ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord. They have corrupted it. Now think about it. He says, corrupted the covenant of Levi. What was the covenant of Levi? God said, you are a chosen people to be my representative. See all the sacrificial system, all the things that you're supposed to do in the temple. Back then it started in the tabernacle. All the duties they were supposed to do from the time, the cleansing, the washing of the hands, from the daily rituals they were involved in. Then the high priest would go in once a year into the Holy of Holies. He would sprinkle blood on his white garment to testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the things that they were supposed to do. God says, you've not only gone out of the way, you've made others to stumble and follow you, but you've corrupted what I've called you to do in the sacrificial system. You've corrupted what I called you to do. You've corrupted that covenant. And by the way, that covenant was an important covenant. Why? Because it was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why this is so grave. So we see the charges God brings. Number two, we see in their indifference, not only the charges God brings, but we see the consequences of their sin. Notice what happens in verse 9. The Bible says, therefore, have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Now notice what happens. What is the consequence of that? The first thing that what happened is they were despised. Notice, God says, because you have gone out of the way, because you've caused others to stumble, because you've corrupted the covenant of the Lord, therefore I have also made you contemptible and base before all the people. Now, the men of the day, the priests, were supposed to be the people that when people went to the temple, they said, wow, that guy is a man of God. That man needs to be honored. That man needs to be reverenced because what he is involved in is holy. What he's dealing with is precious. He's dealing with God's Word. He's dealing with the work of God and all the things that he's doing. Man, this is a special people that God has set apart to do this specific task. And God has instructed all of them specific things to do. From what they wear, to what they do, and they were supposed to follow it. And so these people, think about it, in the eyes of men should have been elevated in the eyes of people that they brought their sacrifice to the priest. But the Bible says because they departed, because they caused others to stumble, because they corrupted the covenant of the Lord, the people despised them. The people despised the priests. Let me stop, pause here and say this. There are many people, men and women, who claim to be the representatives of God today. But the fact is, they do not follow the Word of God. They've departed out of the way. But it's not serious because they've departed out of the way and changed the truth of God into a lie, but they've caused others to stumble. Not only have these people caused others to stumble, but they've corrupted the covenant of the Lord. They've corrupted the message of the Lord. They've corrupted their responsibility. So what has happened today? Back in the day when our country was founded, if you would walk into a community, the pastor of that community, of that church, was honored. He was reverenced. He was. People looked at this man and says, man, this man is in charge of the things of God. This man must be honored and reverenced because he's dealing with something that's holy and that's special. But today you walk in places and to be honest with you, pastors look like teenagers. They walk into a pulpit and hold the Word of God and have torn jeans and t-shirts and they claim to be standing for the cause of God. And they look like someone out in the world who's no different than a man of God who's dealing with holy things. We think, it's okay. They've departed. They've caused others to stumble. They've corrupted the covenant of the Lord. And what happens is people, as they look at men of God, you know what people's opinion today is of the men of God, the preachers of God? They despise them. Why? Because they don't see any difference in these people that are dealing with the things of God. They're despised. The man of God is not respected anymore. He's not reverenced anymore. And by the way, rightfully so, because of what they've done with the work of God. The people of Israel despised the priests because they were using the law for their own advantage, while they should have been preaching the law to all. The law applied to some, but not to others. God said they were partial in the law. You know what that means? Today we have a partial, and you know, my wife tells me that I'm partial to one of my children. When my son David, and that's probably a little bit of truth in there. And I think that if you look at how, and I'll say that's because he's my boy, I'm probably more strict with my son than I am with my daughters. And some would say, well, you're partial. Some people would say, well, you know, I have a boss that's partial. I have there's an employee, and you know what? He seems to be promoted quickly, and he seems to do fine, and you know, it seems like I can't do anything right. And you feel that perhaps your boss is partial. Well, what was happening is at that time the priests were, as perhaps someone was coming and that had perhaps influence and power, as they did something that went against the Word of God, the priest said, you know what, it's okay, it'll be okay, the law does not apply to you. But when someone poor came in and did the same transgression, the priest said, well, this is what you have to do. You have to offer this, you have to pay for that. This is the punishment, this is the consequence of your sin. They were partial in the law. They treated people that were not the same. By the way, God hates partiality. He hates if someone comes in here and perhaps they seem to be well-dressed and they seem to perhaps to be wealthy and they come in and we applaud them and we make sure they find a seat. But when someone comes in that perhaps is not dressed as nice as we thought a person should be when they come to church, then we kind of ignore them. That's being partial, and God hates that. God hates it. That's what the priests were involved in. They were partial in the law. It applied to some, and it didn't apply to others. So the people despise him. So we see the charges God brings, the consequences of their sin. And thirdly, we see the covering of their sin. In verse 10, the Bible says, have we not all one Father? What's the answer? Yes. Have not one God created us? The answer is yes. Then why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Now, the word treacherously means this. To cover literally means to cover with a garment. It means to be deceitful. It means to hide. So when these people were exposed by their sin, they dealt treacherously every man against his brother. They were deceivers. They covered their sin. They were going against what God had told them to do, and they were covering their tracks behind them. And they were pretending on the outside to do everything that a priest should be expected to do. But as people left, they kind of laughed it off. They say, wow, how they really bought into that. They thought that we were serious about that. They dealt treacherously. They threw a blanket over, they covered their sin with a garment. They thought, we're covering all this. The people don't see it, and nobody will know, but God knows. What the priest had done was despicable. They were pretending to offer sacrifices and doing the work of God while the people knew that they didn't care about the Lord nor His work. When their wickedness was exposed, they covered it up by deceiving people. You know, those who claim to be God's representatives have a great and serious responsibility to speak as God's messengers. And what a terrible thing to consider that many men and women who claim to be spokesmen for the Lord but have no regard for God nor His Word. The indifference of the priest. You know, today people run a church like it's a business. People today will be motivated in starting a church because they want to get rich. People start today churches for all kinds of reasons. And we see the indifference that is taking place among those today that claim to be Christians. So we see the intent for the priest. We see the indifference of the priest. But lastly, we see the influence upon the people. And this is where God says, this is your fault. This is where you have caused others to stumble at the law. Notice verse 11. Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with good will at your hand. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy youth, of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the spirit, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, that and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. I want you to think about that. This is very important. He's going to deal with marriage. Marriage. God's intent for the priest was to bring glory to God. They did not do that. God chose them because they were special people, but we see, clearly see their indifference in the service. But I want you to see here how this has influenced the people under them. They have forsaken their wives. The men have forsaken their wives. Think about it. Because the priests did not seek to glorify God, they became indifferent to their own sin. As a result of their indifference, the people of Judah engaged in a great wickedness in the sight of God. Note how God describes what they were doing in verse 11. They were marrying women who worshipped
false gods.
Now, this is something that has been dealt with through the generations. God said you should not marry with a woman who's a pagan worshiper. You should not marry with a woman who is not a believer, who is not a Jew. Why? Because then your heart will be turned towards other gods. We know through the Bible that we see example after example after example of the hearts of men that have been turned by women that didn't marry and they began to worship false gods. The best example we can think of is Solomon. Perhaps I think as he built the temple and as he was standing, you remember the prayer that he made? It was all about glory to God, but as he built the temple over time, this man that had all the wisdom in the world, his heart began to be changed because of the wives. They influenced his heart to worship other gods. Now, they were forsaking their wives, and many of these women and children were grieving as a result of these men's sins. Notice the Bible says in verse 13, "And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering anymore. He receiveth it with good will at your hand." Can you imagine here the scene? Because of the influence of the priest, now in the nation of Israel, this was across the board. Judah hath dealt treacherously. Judah has been deceptive. The people of Israel, as they had been restored to the nation of Israel, they had been commanded not to marry those that worship false gods. Now these men who were married and had children were now leaving their wives. They were saying, "Honey, you know what? I don't love you anymore. I'm interested in this woman over there. You know, she seems to be more attractive. These women are not as conservative as you are. These women seem to be looser. And you know what? I kind of had an eye for this woman and for these women. And I think I love one of them. And I want you to notice you've been my wife for all these years. But I want you to know I don't love you anymore. So I'm leaving you." And this was not just in one household. This was across the board. Can you imagine the weeping going on? As the women came, the children came, the grief all around. Let me pause and say this here, that no doubt there's people that will listen to a message like this who have been affected in some way by divorce. But let me say this, this message is not intended to beat anybody over the head that's been divorced before. That's not the intent. The intent of the message is to prevent that from happening. You see, I'm sure that people that have gone through these things would agree that as they think of young men coming up, they would not want that to happen to them. So the intent of this message is not to beat someone over the head because they've been divorced. This is to prevent someone from that ever happening. And whatever situation you're in right now and whatever marriage you're in right now is the will of God for your life. And you have to be conscious of the fact that God wants you to be faithful. And I want you to think of these men. The influence of the priest has caused these people to have no regard for holiness. And we think about marriage. The Bible says in verse 11, "Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved." What had Judah done? Think about it. As we think about marriage between a man and a woman, this is a holy ceremony. It's in the sight of God. And what these people were saying, well, that marriage ceremony, it doesn't really matter. I want to go over here. I'm interested in something else. I want to discover something else. I want to be involved with someone else. And the grieving and the weeping took place. In verse 14, he says, "Yet ye say, wherefore, because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant." Can you see the message? You have the family here, and the husband comes to the wife and says, "I don't love you anymore. I'm interested in someone else." And as this man is departed and Malachi is preaching, and perhaps he's heading towards this person of interest that he's interested in because he's left his wife, and Malachi said, "That's the wife of thy covenant. That's the wife of thy youth. Where are you going? That's the woman you made a covenant in my sight. Where are you going?" He says, yet is she thy companion. Well, I don't love her anymore. Yet is she thy companion. I'm not interested in her anymore. Yet is she thy companion. I told her I didn't love her. I left her. Yet is she thy companion. Verse 15, he says, and did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. He's going to deal here, notice, with the consequence. How is this affecting? He gives him a little lesson. He goes back to Genesis. And did not he make one? Yes. You see, Adam and Eve became one flesh. He had, notice, the residue of the Spirit, and whereof one, that he might seek a godly seed. What was the purpose of this? What was the purpose of this union between Adam and Eve? It was because God wanted a godly seed. And as we think about the family today, what God desires for the family is a godly seed. That's what God desires. He desires for a man and a woman to come together and influence their children to be a godly seed, to be a representative in a world that does not love God, that does not love God's Word. You're supposed to be. That's why marriage is there. And so think about what they've done here by breaking, by leaving the wife of their youth, by leaving their children, by leaving the woman that they made a covenant with. How do you think that family is going to turn out? I think we all know people that have been affected by that. And the tremendous damage it brings in people's lives. These men that came to church, the temple, brought their sacrifices, and says, hey, let's go, children. Let's go worship God. Let's go bring glory to God. We have our responsibility. Can you see that family walking in the temple? Coming to the priest, and the children are wondering and looking at all these things, wondering why daddy is doing that. And then down the road, daddy says to mommy, I don't love you anymore. I'm leaving you. What do you think that did in the hearts of the children? I saw daddy go to the temple to worship God. What do you think that did to the intent that God had for that family to produce a godly seed? You see, it changes everything. He says in verse 16, for the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. In verse 17, notice here, ye have wearied the Lord with your words. How? He turns his attention to the priest. And he tells him, ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, I want you to see here, the people, the nation of Judah was affected because of the priests. And this is what they were saying. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, Jesus said, when you say this. This is what you've said, priest. Everyone that doeth evil is good. That's what the priest said. Do we understand how serious that is? That as the priests were watching all this unfolding because of their own wickedness and their own indifference, not fulfilling the intent that God had for them, because of that, as they were saying all that happening, and as these men were coming and say, well, you know, I want to have a relationship with my children, but my wife just doesn't want to talk to me. I just don't understand. It's going to be okay. You'll be all right. They'll get over it. It's fine. Well, you know, priest, do you think it's okay? I just don't love my wife anymore, and I love this woman over here. What do you think, priest? It's okay. Leave your wife. It's okay. It's a good thing. It's better to do that, to put your wife away, than to commit adultery, isn't it? It's okay, it's good. In the sight of the Lord. Can you imagine these priests as they're talking to these people? And as these people are forsaking the wife of their youth because they've been attracted, because their flesh is thirsting after a strange woman, and the priest says, it's okay, it's the will of God. What wickedness. And then saying, and he delighteth in them. Wow. The priest said, it's okay, God delights in that. Aren't we hearing the same words today? I was reading an article on a gay pastor, a pastor that's gay, who wrote an article saying that God doesn't condemn homosexuality. God loves those people, and God loves them just for them fulfilling their lives. Really? Really? You are going to say that that lifestyle is the will of God and that God delights in that? The final question is this. They say, this is what they say, the priest. Where is the God of judgment? That's kind of the words that we hear today. God doesn't judge you. God doesn't judge your life. He's okay with it. You live the way you please, and God will be all right with that. Brothers and sisters, you better mark it down that God will judge the wicked. If not now, it will happen one day. The judgment of God is inescapable. The judgment of God is coming. But these priests were saying this. As they had influenced people to be involved in immorality and forsaking the covenant they had made with God, with them and their wife, they were saying, it's okay, it's God's will, God delights in it, God will not judge you. It is amazing to me how history repeats itself. Isn't it? It's just another form today, but people are saying the same thing. But may I say that the standard that we have is God and His Word. And we as the people of God ought to be the messengers of God. And if anybody is going to stand behind a pulpit and preach the Word of God, he ought to do it with compassion and love. But he must speak the truth and be the messenger of the Lord. The messengers of the Lord were not the messengers of the Lord. They were the messengers of wickedness. And we wonder today, well, what's going to happen to our country? Our country is filled with messengers of wickedness. I hope that we don't bury our heads in the sand and ignore all that's happening in churches that are promoting all the things that are happening today. Things happen and, well, yeah, we're for that. What about God? God's message. You see, what's that done? And here's the consequence. People have been okay with their sin, and as a result of that, people will never be saved. You know why? Because they don't see themselves as wicked anymore. And in order for a person to be saved, they must see their utter wickedness. They must see the fact that, you know what, I need a Savior. That's what the law is there for. The law is there to bring us to Christ. And if we do away with God, do away with His law, and bring our own message, people, and we claim, well, compassion and mercy, but these people are going to die and go to hell. It is a serious thing in the sight of God to lead people away and to say, it's okay, let's open the doors of hell, let everybody go in. It's a wicked thing in the sight of God. And we must speak the truth. That's what people need. People need the truth. And may we be God's messengers. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Would we this evening? Father, we thank you.